So the big question is this: how are real estate investors who don't have a ton of free time, don't have access to off-market deals, and didn't start life on third base, how do we grow a real estate business conservatively to support our families, finally leave the corporate rat race, and build a legacy? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Ed Matthews, and this is Real Estate Underground. This is the Real Estate Underground podcast show number 12.
Hey, everybody, Ed Matthews here. Welcome to the Real Estate Underground podcast. Today is an exciting show for me and for us. Today, we're joined by Dave DeVito, and I'd first like to welcome my partner, my Yoda, my mentor, my friend, Rich Brown. Hello, sir. How are you?
Ed, how you doing, big guy? I'm happy to be here. I'm excited about today's guest and can't wait to get started.
Yeah, likewise. Today's guest, Dave DeVito, is a really interesting story because not only is he a friend of ours and a friend of CT Rhea and the show, but he's also a business partner of mine on time to time. And he brings an interesting perspective to this conversation in that there are a lot of different ways to get involved with investing in real estate and making a living in this business. And so Dave has a really unique background, as well as a very unique approach to how he makes his own living here. And he's a full-time investor these days. Actually, he's a full-time lots of things these days, which we'll let him get into. First and foremost, welcome, Dave. Thank you very much for your time today. We're really excited to have you.
Thanks, Ed and Rich. Thanks for having me. Really excited and always a pleasure hanging out with you guys.
So Dave, we know you, but our audience doesn't. Mm-hmm. And one of the things our audience always wants to know when we bring a guest on is, who is this person and how'd they get into real estate? So why don't you just tell us your background, what have you done, and now what drew you to real estate?
Sure. No, I'd be happy to. Probably one of the things is probably one of my biggest regrets is that I started probably too late. And that's one of the things that I tell a lot of new aspiring investors that I'm mentoring to kind of take charge early. So I've gone and pivoted quite a bit. I started back in the day as a sports writer, actually. So went to Syracuse Newhouse School. I know Ed's a big fan of Syracuse. So
yeah, that's a different show.
Yeah, we don't have time for that one. But I started.
Hey, listen, as a Husky, and I believe the Huskies have the most national championships in basketball.
Oh, wow. Oh, we got
all right, so go ahead.
All right, that's a whole other.
Okay. We're going to come back to that really soon. So let's keep going.
All right, I'll stay on topic. So I love sports. I'm a big sports fan. I was an athlete in high school. I loved to write. And a great uncle of mine, who was a great mentor, was one of the most accomplished sports writers in the Boston area. Covered the Red Sox and Boston sports for a while. And he was my first mentor professionally. Studied sports writing at Syracuse and did that for a couple of years. Loved it. Had a lot of great experiences. It really kind of built my creative side, which is definitely a big part of me. Had a lot of great life. But, you know, the thing that I realized early is that while the job itself, you know, I was a young guy covering sports, meeting a lot of athletes and a lot of interesting stories, that at the same time, I knew that someday I wanted to be a family man. And so I saw how miserable my editors were, because as a sports writer, you go into work at like 4 o'clock, you get out at 1 a.m. Oftentimes you're working nights, holidays, weekends. And so I quickly pivoted about after 3.5 years out of that world into the world that really was formidable in my mainstream career, and that was advertising. I still like the communications aspect of life. And in a way, writing and advertising are both marketing, just in different sides of it. And that's a big part of what I did. So I moved from the small time towns of sports writing to New York City, the advertising and media capital of the world. When I was a young guy, when I was about 24 years old, I got into the ad business, worked at an ad agency for a couple of years, worked on some big accounts, learned that aspect of it. But what I quickly learned is that my real passion and interest was in the advertising sales side of some things. Personally, I didn't think I'd be a good sales guy because, quite frankly, I know it doesn't come off all the time, but I'm actually kind of a shy person and I've evolved in that regard. So I wasn't sure if I can go out there and talk to people, try to sell some things, ask them for money, ask them for things. And so I had a really great mentor. I worked for Popular Mechanics Magazine. That was my first sales job. And he said, just, hey, have fun. It's a young person's business. You're a driven guy. And in the first year, I was one of the top sales guys at the entire magazine, back when magazines were a thing. And so that really proved to myself that I could do it. And not that I didn't doubt myself fully. I wouldn't take it on if I didn't think I could do it. But it really gave me that confidence to push forward. And since then, I spent the last 25 years in the advertising business. I've run sales teams at companies like Newsweek, some YouTube ad companies, had a lot of fun at Will Ferrell's comedy website, Funny or Die. So working for Will Ferrell was really interesting. Run the East Coast sales team there. But diversity in print media, digital media, social media, out-of-home media. I spent time at the largest out-of-home media company in the world. Really enjoyed that. And then a lot of diversity in different places. And so it was very good to me. I'm very blessed to have a really good career and a good life. But the industry really changed across the board. And, you know, my most recent role, I was a partner in an ad agency in marketing and experiential and events marketing, which was my last stop. But the thing about it is that I always, from day one, that's getting back to my original statement about, you know, starting too late. I've always been passionate about real estate. Back when I was like 22 years old, walking around with some of my buddies, talking about, we started at the time talking about, you know, a real estate club, which back in the day was kind of an older term of really partnering up with people and establishing a real estate. I guess now it's called syndication into a greater degree. But once I started really enjoying, as a young guy in New York City, social life, and my ad career was really starting to take off, I really just put it in the back burner to some degree, but it was always in my mind. That's when about 8 years ago, you know, the way I got started into real estate and really took my first plunge, we got a postcard in the mail from Tarek El Moussa's coaching academy. He was having a free event down here at the Stanford Marriott. And my wife actually saw it. And she came to me and she said, Dave, you got to go to this. She said, I know you love advertising, but at the time I still did. But he's like, real estate is something you don't shut up about, but you just never really get into it. Now is a really interesting thing to just kind of go out and check it out. And so I did. So I went to the free seminar, sat for about 4 or 5 hours in the Marriott and listened to Tarek's team really talk about a lot of different things about real estate. But one of the things that really resonated to me was wholesaling, because wholesaling wasn't something that I knew about. Obviously from the television shows and everything, I knew about flipping. Obviously being a landlord is not an uncommon thing. So I knew about that. But wholesaling, when they started talking about it, was really intriguing to me because it really tapped into the creativity, the uniqueness. And first and foremost, it really spoke to me about what it means when all these marketing companies really say, hey, invest in real estate without your own money or no money down or anything like that, which I know is possible in other sectors, but wholesaling was really the one that, you know, could really accomplish it. And so I didn't buy Tarek's course at the end of that conference, but I really started to dive in and just immerse myself. That's what I do. I like to immerse myself in learnings. I love to learn. I just really dove into wholesaling and just got after it. I used my marketing experience, did some Google AdWords marketing, a lot of networking. I love to network, as you both know. That's a big, big part of it. And just started making offers and doing wholesale deals. And it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. It's not easy, but it's a lot of fun. I love the hustle of things. You know, that's always been in me. So I got started in that. And then about a year later, I bought my first rental property in Bridgeport. Here was a two family. It was an off-market deal, dirt cheap. I think I got it for like $80,000. It was a two family. It was a complete mess, but I was determined that I can kind of get the ROI. I think the rent roll is about $3,000 for an $80,000 purchase. And that's what I saw. And I dove into that, started learning about being a landlord, which was just a smack in the face, as I'm sure you both can relate when you first started, right? The tenants were very
started. I can still relate.
Yeah, exactly. So I had some good tenants, good people, just different, you know, just different. They had their challenges. And that's one of the things that I embraced in my entire business life about really getting to know my clients. And listen, to a degree, your tenants are your clients. Yeah. You got to really get to know them. And that's the way I treat my tenants in that regard. But it was a challenge. You know, I think I was taking a tour. I was telling a story the other day. I went up to the second floor for the first time, introduced myself. And the people were very nice, but I went to the second floor and opened up the door and there were 6 pit bulls waiting to say hi to me in the closet. Puppies and a mama. And I'm like, okay, good to know. Good to know. But I really go back and for a good year and a half, I owned that property. But what I quickly understood is that I wasn't ready for it. However, and so what I did is I found an investor that really was accomplished, taught me some things, and I sold it to him. Enjoyed a good rent roll, but fairness to the tenants, I just wasn't being a good service to them. So I sold it to an investor that could really take better care of the property. But at the same time, I used that year and a half as my next stage of education. I'm a big believer in you don't really learn by YouTube videos or even talking to people solely. You just got to do it. You just got to really dive in and just experience it. Make your mistakes. It never is going to change, as you both know. And that was a great learning experience. I got my degree in landlording with that property, which I'll never forget. You know, your first property is always your baby, right? You're never going to forget it. And I never will.
Yeah, I still own mine
today. So, yeah, you've got a great story, of course.
That's my, I'm actually going back and forth and trying to figure out whether or not to sell it as we hit the top of the market. And it's a lot harder to sell your baby than it looks on paper, right?
Exactly.
Man, I know you're a wholesaler. I know you had that first experience, but one of the things that people will ask at our CT Rhea meetups is they'll ask questions like, is it hard to get into wholesaling? How do you get over the no's? Do you get a lot of no's? What do I do? Like, tell me about your first deal that you actually signed and were able to wholesale.
My first deal that I signed wasn't a deal that I actually closed, but I'll tell quickly. That knows the story. So I partnered with a good friend of yours, David Haberfeld, back in the day. He had two multifamilies in Binghamton, New York that he got for a song from a friend of his, from the mother of a friend of his. And David is very accomplished, as you both know. And so he said, I got these two properties. I'm looking to find a buyer. I have no problem. So anyone finds me a buyer, I'll give them a piece of the action. And I jumped on it and I just started running. I used my sales and marketing skills and just my hustle. Sight unseen, just started marketing it. And I found a buyer for it. It was tough. These two properties, I think he probably got them for like $20,000 for the both of them. Binghamton is a different market than Connecticut.
Yeah.
But I made the trip up there. I saw these for myself. But the thing about it, there was the seller's son was in there and he was, for lack of a better way, he was a squatter. He was not happy his mother was selling. He had a free place to stay and he wasn't on the up and up. And so I was very honest with my buyer. I'm always honest in everything that I do with buyers and sellers. That's a big, big part of who I am. Yeah. And the buyer understood. He's like, listen, you know what? You know, I'll take it on. I get it. And so signed a purchase and sale agreement with inspection clause or whatever else, but and he was fine. And David and I understood, but the morning of the closing, I got a call from the title attorney and he said, Dave, we got a problem. It's like, what? It's like the tenant set the house on fire. And yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it fortunately it wasn't as dramatic as it sounds in the sense that what it sounds like the front porch a little bit. And unfortunately the fire marshal was in the area and was driving by and saw it. So the good news is that the house wasn't damaged heavily any more than it already was. And the even better news is that we no longer had a squatter in our hands. I'll leave it at that. But the bad news is that the buyer was a tough-minded, experienced investor. He's like, Dave, I can handle a lot of things, but I can't handle that. So I didn't close the deal, but I tell that story because it was literally a trial by fire in my first attempt.
No pun intended, of course.
Yeah, no pun intended, no. Right. But that was like a 3 or 4 month process. And I learned, talking about the rental property that I just spoke about, that was a great learning experience about never giving up, getting creative. I went through multiple potential buyers, but Rich, I mentioned this story because it's all about the no's. This is a no business. Most businesses are, but wholesaling is a no business. If you can't handle the no, you're not going to succeed. You got to have thick skin to really be a wholesaler and just that faith that every no, as they say, is going to be closer to the yes. You know, even the most successful wholesalers are probably closing, what, 0.5% of the time is probably a good strong number, if you're lucky, maybe a little bit more, but you have to just really be aware of that and don't quit.
So one of the things I do is I gamify it, right? I know that I need to talk to roughly 20 human beings before I get a yes, right, with the deals that we do. And I mean an immediate yes, like, yep, we have a deal, let's move forward, right? With every no, you know, one step closer to that 20th yes, right? That 20th person who's going to say yes. And sometimes they come along at number 7 and sometimes they come along at number 20. But nevertheless, you know, I'm in my mental games, right? So I don't get down is every no is fine. I had a boss, Peter Black, who was one of my mentors. And he used to tell me, yes is the best answer. No is the second best answer. And maybe is death. And that's true. So from a wholesaling perspective, I'm okay with no. It's maybe that I really don't like hearing it.
Buying investment real estate is both thrilling and sometimes stressful. Without a lending expert by your side, most investors don't stand a chance. That's where CT Rhea Funding comes in. CT Rhea Funding was founded by investors to help investors just like you fund their deals. Whether you're buying a single family rehab, an apartment building, or really any investment property, our team will understand your deal and help you close quickly. Go to ctreiafunding.com or call us at 860-876-0572.
So let's talk about your business going forward. I know, you know, you and I had an opportunity to catch up a few days ago and you've got some really big plans and I'm excited to be working with you. So why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, thank you. So I failed to mention, you know, I mentioned the long time advertising career and I've been doing real estate wholesaling for about 8 years, but it was a side hustle. Well, I'm excited to share that a little over 2 months ago, it is no longer my side hustle. I left the advertising business. I am now full-time real estate. So I'm super excited about that. Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's, welcome to the club.
Yeah, no, thanks. And listen, for as terrible as COVID has been and is, it was an opportunity for me. That's the other thing. And Ed, to your point, you have to look at the negatives and kind of find the opportunity of some things. Not to get too corny about it, but I had a 4-hour commute each day from New Canaan, Connecticut, where I lived, to New York City for my dad job. And so with COVID came working from home, which is a very big blessing for me because don't get me wrong, I still put in an honest day's work to my full-time job, but now I had 4 more hours out of the day that I just got given back to me. And I put those hours to work. And so it's allowed me to really come up and jump in and make this major move. I'm not a young guy. You know, I didn't give a $25,000 a year salary. I had a pretty nice career that I'm leaving, but this is just what I want to do. And so just like I pivoted from sports writing to advertising, this is my next pivot. And as you both know, entrepreneurs got to know how to pivot. It's a good thing. You can't do it too much. You got to have a plan, but pivoting when you know the time is right is a very important thing. And now I'm 100% confident that now is the time of right for me to pivot. And so I've been spending those 2 months just doing a lot of learning. I'm not only a wholesaler and a investor, but I'm also a licensed realtor with Keller Williams here in Stanford Westport area. I'm a hard money lender. And I've been doing that for about 2 years. I added that to my business about two and a half years ago, because I'm a big believer in multiple streams of income. What I'm trying to do as I say all that is really build a business where I'm a holistic real estate resources for investors and even retail home buyers, where I want to help them as a wholesaler and an agent find a great home or investment property for them. As a hard money lender, I want to help them fund their properties. And if they need help selling them, I want to help them sell their properties, whether it be a flip or anything else. But not only that, but I really love giving back, which is a big part of my brand and my mindset and all that I do, business and life. And so I'm very generous with my time. And quite frankly, I learned that from many people in my life. But getting back to David, David has become a great mentor. I mean, we have stayed in close touch since that Binghamton fiasco 8 years ago. He, as you both know, is very accomplished, but it's unbelievable how giving he is. And I really am similar in that regard. You know, I aspire to kind of on the front end to be as accomplished as him in real estate, hopefully soon. But I definitely share that. And so I definitely mentor freely a lot of new people. And they asked me, I had a guy last night that I was chatting with on Facebook. He's in a different market, but he said, I love what you're saying, but why are you willing to do this for me? And I said to him, listen, people have done it for me and giving back is a big core. Karma is a real thing in life. And that's the absolute truth. So I mentor people without a doubt. And I enjoy it because I look at myself as much as not just all those 3 or 4 things as the roles that I have, but I also like to add the role that I'm almost like a strategic consultant to real estate. Not that I know everything, not even close to it, but I think I've accomplished a lot of knowledge, a lot of contacts in my database, in my Rolodex. I'm very eager to share that because again, and I said this the same thing last night to newbie. I'm like, listen, you're going to help me. It's about give and take, right? I'm going to give, but you're going to help me really expand my sphere because sales, as you both know, is a contact sport. Yep. I'm right now really trying to compile as big of a bird dog team as I can. And I will teach them without these crazy upfront fees in exchange for just sharing in the deals and just going through. Because again, like I was saying earlier, the best way I could teach these newbies is to help them go through a deal together.
Do it.
And right. That's a big part of what my strategic focus is. And just share them the marketing. I launched a Facebook page just about a week and a half ago. So please join it. It's called CT Off Market Deals and Funding. And it's still in, I guess, the beta right now. I haven't really done too much with it. I just want to kind of see organically what people come up with. But that's a place where I'm really going to look to be my hub, not just for me personally. Yes, selfishly, it's going to be a place where hopefully I make a lot of connections and expand my brand. Because as a marketer, we all live and die by the lead gen lower funnel. But I'm trying to really get my name out as a credible, trustworthy partner of anyone throughout there. So I appreciate you both in having me on this podcast today for that regard. But that page I have grand plans for because I want to make it as much about obviously sharing off-market deals. Because again, if I could help people accelerate and sell the deals they have off-market or have buyers like you both find a deal off-market that's compelling, it's a one-stop shop to have that. That's going to be a big core focus of what I'm going to try to accomplish in that group. But it's also going to be some really compelling content because again, it's not a business page. And I'm already started to talk to some of the people I've had to counsel a little bit. I'll leave it at that. And Ed, this is a phrase you share. I love the other day. It's like a dinner party. And this is Ed Matthews, not Dave DeVito, but I'll steal it. When you're at a dinner party, people don't want to be sold. They want to have a really interesting thing. And if you want to more appropriately kind of elaborate, that's a big thing that resonated with me when you said it to me the other day.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, basically what I've learned is that, and I had a mentor of mine, I was telling Dave when I was chiming in there that it's not my original thought. I actually took it from somebody else. And what they told me was that social media is a dinner party and you want to be the cool guy at the party. You want to be engaging. You want to help. You want to talk with people. You want to understand the folks that are at the party. And once they get to know you, then you invite them back to your place, right? And so your place being your website or a meetup that you're organizing, you know, real life or whatever. But you don't want to be the creepy guy at the dinner party shilling for the your latest product, because most people will walk away from that guy, right? Or gal. So that's what Dave and I were talking about. So thanks for the plug, Dave.
Oh, exactly. And that's going to be a big core focus of it. And I have a lot of experience from my ad days and some of those brilliant social media marketers that are much smarter than I am, what I steal from them. And so part of what I'm going to try to do in there is part of the education is imparting best practices in marketing, social media and whatnot to try to help them. But branded content is a space. And what that essentially means is that instead of ads, it's really having a message that sure is hopefully going to end up in a business relationship, but more so is sharing knowledge, sharing content that's engaging and different in that regard. So that's going to be a big part of what that group's going to be about as well. And so I'm really excited. So stay tuned on that. Live streaming is going to be big, sharing and going about some things and really growing that aggressively.
You talk with a lot of folks that are just breaking in, and I'm curious what you see is the difference between the folks that just talk about it, Rich and I and our colleagues call them dreamers, right? What separates the dreamers from the people that actually get it done and become Dave or Rich or Ed or Ron Faraci or whoever we all try, or David Haberfeld, we're all trying to be him. But yeah, I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
I think the easiest and probably top thing is that they're not afraid to fail. They're the kind of people that really just, to another degree, believe in themselves. Because listen, whenever you start kind of getting excited about what you're going to do, whether it be real estate or something else, that's a little bit different. And that's pretty much what entrepreneurialism is, right? You're going to have 95%, if not more, of your friends, family, and the people on the street. They're going to say like, oh, you're crazy. Go get a 9-to-5 job. Go do this. Get a paycheck. Don't worry about it. You know, don't be greedy. It's not about greed, but it's about happiness and believing in yourself. That's probably the number one thing. And the second thing is they're not going to be career students. Listen, education is important. Don't get me wrong. I immerse myself in thousands upon thousands of hours of content and learnings. And I've invested in coaches myself. But the best way to learn is just to do. And be careful enough. Get a mentor. Find someone that is going to lend their time and just go about doing that. But you got to get in the game. You got to get in the game. So the people that are really not going to be afraid to get in the game, or the people that aren't going to overthink it, those are the ones that cross that magical bridge, if you will, into Narnia of what is true entrepreneurialism. That's probably the biggest barrier. And the thick skin, being okay with the no's and not cowering in a corner in a fetal position when they hear the first or 15th or 50th no, you know, and believing. You got to believe.
You gotta believe
that it's going to happen.
Dave, I could hear the parental reference as you threw in Narnia there. That's a good plug for Narnia.
Yeah.
So you've been talking a lot about immersing yourself, about doing the research. Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you use as inspiration? Are you reading books? Are you watching videos? Like, where is it that you find this knowledge?
Yeah, I've invested in some coaches that have taught me a lot in time. I just really try to network. I love to network. I love to meet people like Ed and now you, Rich, and just listen. You know, the other thing that sales former boss of mine said to me, he's like, in sales, you've got two ears and one mouth. Do a lot of listening. Do a lot of listening. And don't be afraid to ask for help. That's what's great about the CTREA. You guys are all genuine. You're not just pitching the CTREA. Everyone's genuine about really accomplished guys like yourselves helping. So I tell people all the time, take them up on that. And Ed, I know you've had a couple of my buddies, we've had coffee with them over the past couple of months.
Yep.
That's the way to do it. And just pick their brains and listen. And don't be afraid to kind of really ask for that. Asking for help is an important part of it. I do some reading. Right now, I've got a little plug for Keller, but it's a brilliant book, not just because I'm a Keller guy, but The Millionaire Real Estate Agent is a book that, whether you're a real estate agent or not, it's a great book because it's got a good mix of that mindset that's important to kind of, again, getting over that bridge. But it also has some really great tactical stuff, anything from leverage to time management and all of that. So that's a great book. And he's also got The Millionaire
Real Estate Investor, which is outstanding.
Yeah, that's also an exchange. So that's one of the reasons why I joined Keller, for a variety of reasons, but just the knowledge and the training there is amazing. I mean, I'm a relatively new real estate agent. You know, I've been doing it for about a year now, but I've been spending a lot of time just kind of learning that side of it, because anything that I do, I really want to know it as best as I can and incorporate that. So that's kind of a little bit of the knowledge, but just surrounding yourself with like-minded people as well. Get rid of the people that are going to be the naysayers, and just have people that you can learn from and steal from them. I steal all the time. Imitation is the best form of flattery, and I look to imitate as many people as I can. One of my big, big differentiators that I try to get across is I'm a big believer in the blue ocean business philosophy, which is essentially what that means for those who don't know. It's trying to find unique and different things that in business or in life that not many people, if many people at all, know about, and incorporate that into your strategy. And so that's a big part of it. So, you know, I'm always trying to learn little catchphrases and quotes, but I heard a new one a couple of weeks ago. It's probably not new to everyone, but it was new to me, is different is better than better, which is a quote you guys probably have heard of. But I heard that for the first time about a week and a half ago in a meeting. I wrote it down, and that is so, so true. You got to try to find a differentiator. There's thousands of wholesalers. There's thousands of investors. There's thousands of real estate agents out there. What I'm trying to do as best I can is, why call Dave DeVito instead of other wholesalers, real estate agents, or hard money lenders? What am I going to offer to them that they are going to appreciate and like working with me about? I mean, that's a huge part about the thing. People want to work with people that they like, respect, and trust. And that's what I'm trying to embody with my own personal brand. Yeah.
Kind of dovetail on what you were talking about. You know, there's something called the improvement offer, right? So there's kind of two basic offers. There's the different, like, as you put it, right? I'm not like, you look at politicians, for instance, right? If you look at presidential candidates over the last, I don't know, 100 years plus, the ones who were improvement candidates typically lose, right? The ones who are change agents, the ones typically win. But you can go with wherever you fall on the political spectrum, you know, politics is a marketing game, just like everything else. And it's interesting that the folks that differentiate themselves by being different from their competitors, their opponents, whatever, are typically the ones that define a new category and then become the kings of that category and then ultimately succeed. And in many cases, really succeed. So, yeah, no, it's a great point. So one of the things that a lot of our listeners kind of deal with is they kind of fall in one of three buckets, right? It's, I don't have enough time to invest. I don't know where to get my money, and I don't know where to find deals. And, you know, the good news is you embody all three and you're successful at all three. So I'm just curious, you know, what do you think is the hardest one and how did you overcome it yourself?
Good question. I mean, all three are legitimate hurdles that you got to fight through. But if I had to pick one of the three, and we could all relate to this in this current market, right, is finding the deals. Finding deals is not easy ever. The COVID era that we're all living through right now is probably the toughest one. But the way I think about deals is that deals aren't found, they're made. You don't find a deal, you make a deal. And that's where, again, my longtime sales experience of negotiating, creatively thinking some things. Like, a lot of investors, even experienced ones, will bring me deals of theirs because I think that one of my strengths is I really have a good creative mind about dissecting a deal and finding value other people really can't. I think that I've got a talent to find and see things a lot of other people can't see. And so that's one of the ways that I kind of, you know, again, make a deal out of an opportunity or a phone call or a client outset in that regard. You know, the other thing is, and one of the great things about real estate is that it's very competitive, obviously, but it's a great industry for sharing a deal. There's many different ways of making money off of one deal. I think a mentor of mine said once, I think like 13 different people can make money off of one deal. And so I say that because JVing is something that I'll do anytime. I will find, and sure, I do that with a lot of my newbies who I partner with and teach, but even if it's another experienced guy, you got to piece that deal together, piece the puzzle together. And that kind of refers back to the funding aspects of things. That's why syndication is really popular right now. But going out there and just finding someone that has a deal, or if you have a deal, what hole do you have that someone else could fill? And that's a way that you can, again, make a deal out of what you seemingly had a roadblock about. And so that's another big piece of advice that I personally try to embody and practice. Like, I do a lot of dispo. I'm a wholesaler for a while, but I enjoy just finding buyers for other wholesalers. I don't daisy chain. You know, I will not daisy chain. I'm always, again, honesty, integrity is huge. I always ask permission for someone that has a deal that they've listed that I think is a good deal I have a buyer for. And we negotiate a dispo partnership. And I made a lot of money and a lot of contacts and friends where I just do dispo. So wholesalers out there, if you ever need a dispo guy, shameless plug, Dave DeVito, bring it to me and I'm a fair guy and I'll make sure that we market it properly and fairly and it's represented in the best light for your deals.
Dave, listen, man, you've got a ton of energy. You got me excited. I think I'm going to have to jump into wholesaling and come see you. But you had to give one tip today to people listening to this podcast for the first time they're hearing Dave DeVito. What would you say to those people?
I'd say just don't be afraid. Fear is always one. And again, it's, I mean, these are all cliches that you've heard before, but don't be afraid to fail. I've got, I'm looking at it right now. I'm a Boston sports guy, but I've got MJ, Michael Jordan. It's a famous quote of his. I'm reading it. It says, I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. I mean, that sums it up right there. Michael Jordan is one of the greatest athletes of our time. But it's not just being not afraid to fail, but vocalizing it. Say it. Write it down. I write a lot of things down. Don't forget it. You got to write down your why, which is a whole other thing I don't have time for, but know your why. Really know what drives you because you really need to know the fun stuff. Why are you doing this? Your family, your fun, wealth, ambition, freedom, what have you. That's a really important thing. I look at my why all the time because you got to get past those 5, 10, 50 no's and push yourself forward.
Right on.
All right. And if people wanted to get in contact with Dave DeVito, how would they do that?
Yeah. I mean, I probably have like 4 or 5 or 6 email addresses, but you guys could all reach me. I check them all regularly. You could reach me at dave@homebuyerct.com. Facebook me, as you've heard, I'm a big Facebook guy. I live on Facebook. It's my number one source of lead generation and buyer contacts and just general networking. So friend me on Facebook, just Dave DeVito. And then last but not least, please join that Connecticut Off-Market Deals and Funding. It's CT Off-Market Deals and Funding because, again, selfishly, it's partially for my brand and whatnot, but this is something, as I say, it's for us. The bigger we can make that whole thing, the more we could all share in that wealth and really prosper as big-time investors, wholesalers, agents, what have you, in the state of Connecticut.
Well, Dave, once again, it's a pleasure to have you here. We're thankful for your wisdom and your experience and your generosity with your time. So thank you very much, Mr. Brown. As always, a pleasure, sir. And Dave, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate the invite.
This has been the Real Estate Underground Podcast, a CT REIA presentation. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. If there's a specific topic you want us to cover, post it in the comments. For more information on the Real Estate Underground Podcast or CT REIA, go to realestateundergroundpodcast.com or ctrea.com. Until next time, happy investing.